business success usually comes to those who are too busy to be looking for it. Join RVK for the award-winning RV on Business Show every Tuesday at 12 midday. It's not about thinking out of the box. There is no box. Only on 101.9 High FM.
Welcome to 101.9 High FM. It's exactly 10 minutes past 12. Craig, as always, thank you for pushing the buttons. And everybody, thank you for joining us. Today, we're going to start unpacking some new legislation that has come out around retirement. And I must say, in my 20-odd years in the industry, I don't think I've ever seen such panic, such confusion around legislation that has come out. I think that may be that the legislation actually hasn't changed. There were proposals, those were blocked by the unions and by certain political parties who are today basically irrelevant. But at the time when they were trying to be, you know, brought forward and promulgated, they weren't allowed to see the light of day. And now we've come out with something new. So when we are talking about the new legislation, of course, I'm referring to what we refer to as the two-pot retirement system. It sounds very simple. It almost sounds like a camping meal, two-pot, or a quick takeaway sort of microwave meal. It's certainly not that. It's a well-thought-out program. And when we go through it, what you'll begin to understand is that those who put their minds to this took the South African population into consideration. They understood who they were dealing with. They understood the parameters. They understood the variables. And I think they were very realistic with the way they came up with some sort of medium between being too draconian and not allowing people to touch their retirement money until retirement, and being too lenient, whereas people could take their money as and when they wanted certain circumstances. So let's go back to the last major change that happened in a budget about 2-3 years ago. And from there, we will build up to the two-pot system. The first thing I want to make very clear is that the two-pot system does not change retirement law in South Africa. Retirement savings are still tax deductible up to a certain amount within limits. If you spend more than that, you can deduct them later when you retire. The growth in those funds are still tax-free. Even in retirement, you will not be taxed on the growth on the living annuity, for example. You will be taxed on the income at your marginal rate as part of your income. But the basic structure hasn't changed. What government has allowed for people to get access to certain monies that they put away on a monthly basis in order to alleviate the pressure that certain households feel, where they look at a pension statement or a provident statement or a retirement annuity statement, or all three, and they stare at it and say, I wish I could get my hands on a portion of that. It would alleviate a huge amount of pressure that I'm going through now. And government heard that call, but government also understood the reality of the scenario. People are allowed to dipping double dip, triple dip, or dip without end into retirement funds. Ultimately, when they retire, they won't have funds and they won't be able to retire without continuing to work, either part-time or full-time, which is not retirement, or to be dependent on family members. So that's the way it stands right now. So you've got a tax deduction for contributions that are made, and the money grows in a pension, a provident fund, or retirement annuity without tax, without capital gains tax, and you can access it at retirement. How you access it at retirement, the law still stands that you can take 1/3 in cash, and you can take two-thirds as an annuity. The one-third in cash at the moment, 550,000 rand of that is tax-free. So let's use simple arithmetic. If a person has 3 million rand across the board, or make it even simpler, 3 million rand in a retirement annuity, they can access 1 million rand in cash. 550,000 rand of that is going to be tax-free. The other balance, the 450,000, they're going to pay tax, and the tax on that will be roughly 81,000 rand. So of your 450, you might get 380 out at the end. You're going to pay a large chunk of that in tax. We need to look at the scenario at the time. The knee-jerk reaction was, well, I'm not paying one penny of tax more than I need to. Find a way where I can obfuscate tax, where I can not pay tax legally and get the advantage of the money not being being disinvested from my account and paid over to SARS. However, who knows what the scenario is? You might desperately need to pay off a loan. You might have debt that you need to settle before you can retire comfortably. You might have medical bills. Who knows? You might have a family member in desperate need of cash. And that's why we need to look at the scenario at the time. But those are the basic parameters. The two options came in very abruptly, so to speak, at the end of August, 1st of September, 2024. And it basically said one important fact is that you've got a savings component and a retirement component in all monies that you put away towards retirement. Let's for a moment ignore money that are sitting in provident funds, in pension funds, in preservation funds. Let's just put that aside. We're going to get to that in the next few minutes. But let's talk about contributions that are going forward. So you were a person who just started working on the 1st of September. You are saving 1,000 rand a month in a retirement vehicle. Let's call it a retirement annuity. What the government is allowing you to do is to split it. In fact, it'll be split automatically for you without you even requesting it. One third, 333 rand, is going to go into a savings component, and 666 rand is going to go into a retirement component. Those two components run concurrently. They run next to each other, and they can have exactly the same funds. So let's say you choose what the majority of people in South Africa are invested in balance funds, whether it's Momentum Balance Plus or Allan Gray Balanced or Discovery Balanced or 91 Growth Fund, whatever it is. You have chosen that fund. You can have one fund that will be applied to both pots, your one third pot and your two third pots. If luck shines on you and retirement savings goes the way it should go, and you never have a need to touch your retirement money, the one pot, two pot system means absolutely nothing in your life. The one third, two third means nothing because at the bottom of your statement, you'll see a total figure, and that's all you're concerned about. And you truck along beautifully for 20 years. Now, in year 21, life happens, and all of a sudden, you need to access some money from your retirement fund. For whatever reason, you can't get it elsewhere. You've done the calculation, you've looked at it. You need to now turn to your retirement fund to access your money. How does that savings component work? So, the savings component is very, very simple. You can access it every single year, and you can clean it out if you want to. So you can take all the money out. So let's take a scenario over here where we're putting a 333 rand away a month. There's 3,396 rand. Let's say a little bit of growth, 4,200 rand. You can empty that out every single year. But there's two provisos. You can only do it once per year, and you have to do it for a minimum of 2,000 rand. You approach your company and say, please, can I have 500 rand this month and 1,200 rand next month? It's not an ATM. It's a dispensation to allow you to access retirement money should you need it. So the minimum is 2,000 rand plus, and you can only do it once a year. What's the catch? The catch is that before retirement, withdrawals are taxed at your marginal income rate. So whatever your marginal income rate is, it's going to be taxed at that. So you will pay tax on that money that you withdraw. Number one. Number two, if you owe SARS money, SARS is going to take its pound of flesh prior to you getting a penny. So if you are arrears in tax, if you are behind in VAT or whatever it is, VAT would be different because you'd be in a company. But if you owe SARS money, SARS will take that money prior to you getting it. Is that any different to the current situation? No, it isn't. Now you can't access it, but a company's applied for tax directive. And once they apply for tax directive, they get told by SARS, X owes us money, and therefore, before you pay them their share, you need to give us our share. So let's repeat it and let's clarify it. A person has two parts, a savings component and a retirement component of what? Of monies contributed going forward. So from the 1st of September, money is contributed. They can access their pot one, which is a savings pot, at any time, so long as they take more than 2,000 rand and they appreciate that tax is going to be paid. They also need to remember that the company might charge a small fee to do that. They will pay tax on it and SARS will take their portion. All that really happens now, if you do that every single year and you empty out pot one, is when you get to retirement, you only have pot two. Now, that might sound like a silly idea, but when you come back from the break, I'm going to break it down and show how it's quite forward-thinking of government to have done that. Let's take a quick break. We'll be back with you in a moment.
This is RV on Business.
Before we went to the break, we said that you can take from your savings component every single year, clean it up, pay your tax on the amount that you take at marginal rate, and you're only left with the two-thirds. Why is that so clever? Because people are really going to retire with a third, with two-thirds of what they could have. They're going to have 60%, whereas they could have had 100%. Because what was happening up until now is that people were able to access all their money. And the attitude was, we didn't care about the tax. Whatever tax was. You pay the tax, give me the money. Yes, I'm going to forfeit my future tax-free amount of 550 if I take it now. And got your back against the wall, people's attitude was, that's just tough. I'll worry about it when I get to it. Right now, this is what I need. And we even had people going so far as resigning in the one day, withdrawing their pension or provident fund and being re-employed the next day. It wasn't unheard of, especially in smaller companies where there wasn't a major HR obstacle, and no one was going to ask too many questions, and you're allowed to do that. Really, what happened is that people were just accessing the money, and therefore they were coming out with very little at the end, if anything. Here, at least, you're going to get that two-third, the two-thirds when it comes out. And really, what that two-thirds does is it gives you a retirement savings retirement. You then either take a living annuity or a fixed annuity or a joint annuity, as it's called now. And you can therefore manipulate it in any way you feel. You can change your income from year to year. Those haven't changed. Those rules are still very much in place, But what it does is it allows you to ensure that you will never take all your money going forward. The attitude might be, well, it's my money. I can do with it what I want. There is some truth in that. But you need to remember that when you joined the company and you joined the pension fund, you signed a contract under certain rules. And those rules you bound yourself to. So my mantra when I speak to people when they are in a company and they're forced to join a pension fund or a provident fund, the answer is it's most probably the best you could do for yourself. Number one, you're forced to save without having any choice. Sometimes it is how much of your salary is pensionable, but let's say 100% of your salary is pensionable, you're forced to save without any choice. Number two, choice you do have is where your money is invested. Sometimes you might have a broad choice, sometimes you might have a very narrow choice, but you do have some say if you want as to where your money is invested. Ultimately, you get used to what your net salary is. So, gross salary is all good and well. But if you've got a pension and provident fund at work, you're going to find that roughly between 10 and 14% of your gross income is going to be deducted before it goes into your bank account. Often prior to that is also your medical aid, depending on how it's structured, will also be deducted. So, you get used to a net salary at the end of time, and you know that is what is in your bank account, and that's what you can spend. And all of a sudden, on the side is this fund that's starting to grow. Up until now, most people said it was out of sight, out of mind, tended to ignore it. Statements came every quarter, every year, or in smaller companies or more efficient companies every month, or they checked it on the app, asked a few questions, but they basically let it do its own thing. All of a sudden, you now have ability to access the one third. But what I said in the very, very beginning is that that is entirely at your discretion. If you don't need to access it, don't worry about it. The one third, two thirds equals one. It's a full amount. It's got nothing to do with breaking it down into smaller portions. Just look at the total, and the total is what you need to look at, bearing in mind that you can access one third should you need to. Okay, there's a whole plethora of questions coming through. The questions are really, some of them are premature because I'm going to get to them and I'm going to answer them. But I see some of them have really made reference to things that I've said. And maybe it wasn't said clearly enough. So before I start answering the question, let me go through a scenario that I've written down and explain it. And maybe that'll answer a lot of questions. If not, please just message me again and we'll come back to you. Okay. If you're contributing to a retirement fund, one third of what you retire goes into something called a savings component, two thirds goes into a retirement component. Retirement component can't be touched until retirement. No discussions. The one third, the savings component can be touched, can be accessed in full every year. So long as it's above 2,000 rand a time, you can only do it once a year. You will pay tax on that money that you're withdrawing. The company where your money is invested might charge a fee to do that. It will be nominal though, about 250, 300 rand. And if you owe money to SARS, SARS will take their money before giving it to you. When you then get to retirement, you can then access your two thirds as an annuity, as an income on a monthly basis. Bear in mind, let's say you've saved 1 million rand in your savings component over last 10 years. In year 8, you can access 5,000 rand. And in year 10, you can access 20,000 rand. But only one access per year. And therefore, you might just dent it slightly without too much without it being too catastrophic to the actual fund. That's how that's how this works. People are now asking, what's about money that I've already had invested? What's about money that I've had sitting in retirement funds, an RA, for example, that's already there and available there? Do I have access to it? So this is what the scenario is with those. That's called the vested component. So all contributions made before the 1st of September, plus the returns, work like this. The current legislation applies to these components. One third, you may take one third as cash at retirement. So in other words, the rules that apply prior to the 1st of September still apply to the lump sum cash that you had afterwards. On the 1st of September, however, 10% of your vested amount to a maximum of 10 of 30,000 rand will be transferred to your savings component. So let's take a scenario. Joe has 5 million rand sitting in an RA. It came from different pension funds, or it came from different places that he had saved up. It's a lump sum of 5 million. He watches it, he looks at the funds, he talks to his financial planner, he adjusts the funds on an ongoing basis. All of a sudden, he realizes that, hold on, I've got 10% of 5 million is 500,000 rand that could be available, but it's limited to 30,000 rand. So all of a sudden now, Joe, when you look at your statement, you will see an amount of 30,000 rand that is available, which is the smaller of 30,000 rand or 10% of the fund value, and 4,970,000 lying in a separate line item. And these are going to give you your totals. If you wanted to take that 30,000, you could take it. If you're now contributing to a retirement annuity on an ongoing basis, let's say on that RA, you now started to contribute another 1,000 rand a month, you could contribute one third of the 12,000 rand per year, which is, call it 4,000 rand, plus the 30,000 rand. So 34,000 rand will be able to be accessed, and that's what you would be able to take out on that basis going forward. Okay. I've got a few messages here that are quite firm, and some people are very clear to express their frustration. The insurance companies have not got their act together entirely yet. Susan, Petrus, Melabo, you are 100% correct. The statements that you get do not reflect the funds correctly. Some of them do, most of them at this stage don't. They have not really readjusted the system, recalibrated the system to give you everything that you need nice and neatly. So instead of getting frustrated with the statement that is not showing you a breakdown correctly, please pick up the phone to the insurance company or send a message to your financial broker and say, I need access to some money. What is available? Please, can you give me a breakdown? Like everything else, this is new. It's going to take time for it to settle. When we have this discussion this time next year, it'll be an absolute given. There will be the questions and things we just now, people will understand by rote because it's become the norm, it's become the way things are done. I've got a message here from Anonymous to say, I am the head of HR at a listed public company. I've just pulled over to the side of the road to write you this message. This two-pot system is driving me to pot. The amount of requests that we have had for people to all of a sudden withdraw money, the amount of meetings that we have had to have in order to discuss it with our staff is absolutely staggering. When you're dealing with blue-collar workers, any access to money is welcomed by them, and there has been a major fault in the system that it hasn't been discussed at length. I couldn't agree with you more, Anonymous, but with all due respect, it has been in the pipeline for a while. It has been there. The basic skin and bones, the skeleton of the structure has been there for a long time. But I appreciate that you've been really inundated. What a lot of my clients have done have broken down staff, big staff complements into different sections and really just gone on a whole education campaign to do it. I know at Discovery there are very simple one pages that are handed out that really explain things easily. If anybody's listening wants one, please just email me and I'll send it to you with pleasure. Really expands it down and just puts everything on one page, and you don't have to go to it through it in exhausting detail. But it is something that's quite important. The next one, this one here is quite important. I've got this from a person who says, "I'm a lawyer in the Pretoria area. I contribute significant sums to my retirement money every month, and I have 5 years left to my targeted retirement date. My question to you is, would it be better to withdraw some of my money from my savings component and invest it elsewhere? Would I get a better return?" Oh yeah, in Pretoria, that's a very interesting question, but let's take a quick ad break, and when we come back, I will answer that.
This is RV on Business.
Noya in Pretoria. First of all, this notion that you can get a better return elsewhere is dependent on two major factors. Number one, where your money is invested, the funds that you use, and number two, tax. How much tax are you going to pay on the growth that you make? Remember, in your retirement annuity, you're not paying tax on any growth that you make. And number two, you can change funds at any time. So if you're sitting in more aggressive funds at the moment, and as you mentioned, you've got around about 5 years towards retirement, then what you should look at doing is maybe taking it off the heat, so to speak, looking at moving your mindset into more of a preservation mindset. In other words, preserving the capital and growth that you've already got and made, and adding to it in a way that is less risky. If you want to take that money out and pay tax on it, and then go and put it into another scheme that you are aware of that would give you better returns, I can't comment on that. That's a decision that you need to make based on how much tax you're going to make and what this magic investment is that you might have. And I'm not being condescending. I've just heard this so many times. And then 6 months, a year later, we've got our tail between our legs, and that money is gone and the tax has been paid. Rather, what I would do is, if you're contributing above the threshold, maybe reduce and take a little bit that you were doing above the threshold and then use that for some interesting investment that you want to do. If you're looking and going, for example, offshore totally with the money, that's another discussion that we can have. But again, it needs to be looked at as to what tax you're going to pay there. Is it in a flexible investment? Is it an endowment? Tax regimes are different. And are you going to be able to access that money when you need to? Will it be in rands? Will it be in dollars? So today we've touched on one area of the two-part system. Next week is a public holiday, so we won't be on air. But the following week, we will wrap up all the other outstanding subjects, and we will answer all your questions. Craig, thanks for pushing the buttons. Everybody, thanks for listening. We will speak to you later.